was talking last week, and I think we was in the middle of some of the stuff in 1 Corinthians, but what God is showing us here is two sides to that sword. You remember I shared in Hebrews 4:12? It says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." And what we're saying, the word of God will penetrate us. It pierces. Not just stabs you. I mean, it pierces. It goes all the way in. If you receive that word. And it'll do stuff to you that you never thought was there. It'll help take the bad stuff out of your life. Or at least let you recognize what the bad stuff is. And then it'll pierce enough and cut enough to make room for the good stuff to come into your life. And we need to receive that. Because he says in Isaiah 55:11, we shared last week, that my word will not return to me void. So as we speak God's word, we hear God's word, it'll do exactly what it is intended to do. Now sometimes when you hear the word of God, it might make you upset. Sometimes it might make you mad. Especially if you're sitting here today and you're not a born-again Christian, you hear something in the word of God and you get so upset, you might ready to throw a chair, get ready to walk out of the church. But you know, if you do that, it did exactly what it's supposed to do. It brought your attention to something. It brought something highlighted in your life. For some reason, God wanted to show this to us. And so, as a Christian, when you're born again then, and you believe in the Word of God, and you trust the Word of God, when you hear these things, you say, "Oh, thank you, Lord. Wow, thanks for the revelation of your Word. I didn't know that was sin. Man, I need to get that out of my life." See how it works? Now, we were sharing in 1 Corinthians last week, chapter 6, verse 9, and he told us, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, or idolaters, or effeminates, or homosexuals, or thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, or revilers, or swindlers, or slanderers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Spirit of our God." So, what Paul is saying, don't be deceived. Number one, okay, that means heads up, don't be deceived. That these things are sin, and if you participate in them, you will not see the kingdom of God. Now, I say, well, thank you, Lord, for bringing these things to my attention. Because I believe before I got saved, a lot of things I was doing was sin, but I thought that was okay. Why? Because everybody else does it. Yeah. And a lot of times I thought it was okay to do, even though I didn't go to church, but I seen a lot of people going to church doing it. Well, they're doing the going to church, and I'm doing it, I must be okay also. See how you can be deceived? Not that you want to be, but you can be. Because when we look outside the Word of God and look at one another, we can be deceived because we're not perfect people. Okay? Our desire is to be like Christ, amen? But we're not perfect. Now, I say that, I want to give you a disqualifier too, that doesn't give us a license to stay in sin. Okay? Hear me that? Yeah. No one here has a license to stay in sin. You can say, well, the grace of God. Yes, the grace of God allows you to repent from your sin. But when it's brought to our attention that sin is sin, you get two choices. Stay in it and pay the consequences, or get out of it through the blood of Christ. Turn away from it. And so, when people hear some of this stuff, like in 1 Corinthians, if you're there, and I'm just going to do a quick recourse from last week to get where we left off at. But it says, don't be deceived. Seeing those who practice this thing will not see the kingdom of God. It says fornicators. It's sexual intercourse between two people who are not married to each other. Or it's two people living together, a husband and wife, and they're not married. Okay, that's fornication. Now, I don't care how you cut the mustard. I don't care how you spread the butter. If that's what two people are doing, that's what God calls it. Okay? Now, that can get people upset right away. But you don't understand. I don't have to. I'm just telling you what God says. Okay? Argue with God. He's the one that wants us in heaven, right? And apparently we want to go there or do something because we're here this morning. So he's saying that that's a sin. There's no way around it. I don't care if we try to bring our government into it, we try to bring this into it or that into it. The Bible tells us until our law is contrary to God, we are to obey the law of the land. Everybody know that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Long as the law does not go contrary to the word of God. He says, nor idolaters, which is worship of idols. Idol is an image of deity other than God, any person or thing regarded with a blind admiration. So we have to make sure that we don't have things that we worship outside of God. And you think, well, I don't do that. But think, what is there anything that you put before God? Is there anything that, is there anything that has more your time than God? If there is, you have an idol. Now, I'm not
like TV or cell phone or computer.
That can be your God, yeah. I mean, if you have more time with it, I'll put it just quiet. If you have more entertaining time with it than you do with God, then that's an idol. I say entertaining because you might have to be on your cell phone all the time because that's your job. Okay, you might be on computer. That's your job. Okay, now, but the thing of it is, we don't measure our time with God, Fred, by how long you've been in church today. We don't. I mean, it's awesome, but man, you'll be talking to God tonight. You'll be in your prayer. You'll be reading the Word of God. You'll be driving home. Bonnie will be going to Dresden. They talking to the Lord. So you'll be spending a whole lot of time with God. Amen. Okay, so don't get down on yourself. But if it's a point where that TV or that cell phone overrides God, you start worshiping it, then you got an idol. Okay? People clear on that? Please, we're here to learn. I just want to make sure I understand that. So don't think you can't get on your cell phone. I'm saying if you spend more time on it, if you look towards it for more of entertainment than spend time with God, then you might have an issue there. Okay? Okay. I mean, I can't spend so much time with you. I don't want to be on that. No, I'm just kidding you. Now, you talk about adulterers, okay? And again, this is having a relationship between a married person who is not his or her spouse. And Christ even said, if you lust at one another, and if you lust at the people in that way, then that's sin. And so again, we have to make sure that we don't fall into the things of the world. And I've shared before, a lot of us guys, you got to move that remote real quickly when they start advertising Victoria's Secrets and that kind of stuff on television. But you know, it's out there.
Walking through the mall.
Walking through the mall, yeah.
It's just going to walk through Lowe's.
Yeah. Well, see, you have to watch out for that. And I'm kind of ahead of myself, but Frank, can you come up a second, buddy? That's a good place to start plowing here this morning. I'll let you sit here for a second. But you said right. I mean, we have to always be on the watch because Satan is always after us. Remember that. And the Master says, even lust after a woman. Yeah, these are clean. But for a moment, I know this is white, but this is going to represent sin. Okay, for time being. Well, it's kind of beige. Okay, well, you women. Men see black and white, blue and green. That's it.
So that could be like...
But as a Christian... Oh, you got a red shirt on. So as a Christian, Fred is walking under the blood of Christ. He's born again, forgiven of the sins. Has every intention to obey the Master. Amen? That's your desire. So he's gone through the mall. And next thing you know, he sees that big ad there, Victoria's Secrets. Okay, and he kind of looks at it, but he looks away. But this is what really taking place. Hey, let's say this is Satan. Hey, Fred, you want to look? I know you do. Come on, Fred. Your pastor's not in Zanesville today. Your wife's in Florida. Fred, you want to look? You want to look? And that's where the teasing starts. Okay, and Fred, I'm not going to look. I'm sorry. Yes, I do. I want to. Yes. Am I? No. I'm not going to sin. Lord, you died on the cross. And he walks on down right on past it. But, Fred. But what happens then, if Fred had a different decision, he's, okay, I'll just take a look. I just want to make sure that stuff's made in America, you know. So he looks at it. And now he glances at it. Okay, now he glances at it. It's not a sin yet. He just glanced at it. But now he's got that vision in his eyes now. It's in his mind. You can't unsee something, you know that? Once you see it, it's really hard to. So Fred leaves, and he goes about his way, and first thing he starts thinking about that Victoria's Secret sign and that lady. He starts thinking back. And instead of casting that thought down, Next thing, he's starting to imagine what she's like. Where's she from? What would it be that's been the... Don't throw... It's me talking, okay, Brenda? Don't throw something. Okay. What would it be? Just, you know, maybe for... Be at Cancun with her for a weekend. I mean, no, you know, I love my wife, but next thing you know what's happened? He's taken that into thought. And that thought now is coming into sin. And it's got him covered. Okay, and now he's walking. So now what happened? Can you breathe okay?
Oh, yeah.
I did it once to Joe. I remember Joe, I about lost you at one time. It gets hot in there, I know. But now he just fell into sin. Think, well, Pastor, no big deal. All men do that and all women do that. No, they don't. But it's not that he just fell into sin. He just broke communication with God. Isaiah 59:2 says, man, sin separates us from God. So for the time being, man, God, I mean, is he still born again? He's still born again, yes. But he just fell into sin. Now, huh? He closed it, yes, he closed the ears of God. And so that one little look that he shouldn't have, he knew he shouldn't have, he took into his heart, now he lusted and he just sinned. And so his whole fortress, his whole arsenal of weapons against the evil one is shut down because of sin. But then Fred thinks, oh man, I should have never done that. Fred's got two choices right now. Still breathing?
Oh, yeah.
He's got two choices. He can just say, man, I knew I couldn't do this Christian walk and walk away from it. Or he can say, Lord, forgive me. Man, forgive me, Lord, I shouldn't have done it. You try to tell me, Holy Spirit, I didn't listen to you. Forgive me, God, in the name of Jesus. Boom. There. Satan lost his grab on you. You're walking back to the Lord again. Yes, did you fall in sin? Yes. But you had a desire to stay with the Master. You repented from it. Now you're set free from it. Now, as Fred comes around the mall again, and he sees down the street, down the aisle there, Victoria's Secrets on the right, he cuts left, down through the food cart court. But he doesn't take a chance. Because he loves his wife. He loves his God, but he can be weak at times. And so he just takes a different route. Amen? Avoid that temptation in our life. And that's what God wants us to do. Learn our weaknesses. And do what we can to stay out of them. I mean, Fred could be walking down the... This is just a blanket right now, okay? You're not half in sin. He could be walking down there and say, man, I want the Victoria's Secret advertisements in there today. Boy, I hope not. I hope not. God, you don't want me to see it. You haven't moved, won't you? But, you know, God sees your heart, Fred. He sees it whether you want to see it or not, you know. Or if you're doing whatever you can to avoid it. And again, temptation will be out there for us. And it's easier. I mean, right now I would say Victoria's Secret had nothing to do with Fred, nothing to do with me, nothing to do with any of us if we want to walk with the Lord. But we can have a weak part. We can have a weak moment. We can just one glance and boom. It's got you thinking again. Amen?
Amen?
Television, same way. Man, just all of a sudden, boom. Your songs, the same way. An old song from the 70s, come on. Now, I'm not saying that all the songs are bad in the 70s, but it can trigger a memory of something he's doing while that song was playing that you shouldn't have been doing. Sometimes the best thing to do is turn the dial, right? Because otherwise you're going back in time and you're watching, you know, Kenny LaVeta disco dance or something. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But that quick, he can take place. So we need to learn that. And so that's what the Word of God, when we hear what the Word of God says and we know it's sin, then we got to want it in our life not to sin and let it pierce us. And, you know, I've had arguments with people before. I won't say arguments. They were arguing. I just tell them what God said. And it was over this foxhole one time. But I don't know if it's still open or not. But how many guys said, yeah, it's still open? No, just kidding. But we got an argument, a discussion. He said, well, there's nothing wrong with the foxhole. I said, well, I've never been in there. I have to go, but people tell me. But they tell me that ladies are dancing and they don't have their clothes on. He said, well, I'll tell you what. If God didn't want us to enjoy that stuff, he wouldn't have gave them to them. Now, this person goes, not here, but this person goes to church. This person is convinced That there's nothing wrong with that. And I don't know. I mean, I read the scriptures, and to me, Bible says lusting. Now, don't tell me you can go up there and watch that without lusting. I mean, certainly, isn't that what you're there for? Now, you can be a doctor, I believe, or someone that has to deal with people without any clothes on and do it in a professional manner. You have your mindset straight. Amen? Right. I mean, I had to deal with that on the department. I had to see but not see. You know what I'm saying? And but when you go someplace like for entertainment, that's what you're going there for. Don't tell me you like the way they recite poetry there, Joe. You know what I'm saying? But again, knowing our enemy, letting that word of God penetrate us, and then avoiding it, you know. If he just sows one seed, sometimes we water ourselves. You know that we do. We want to let it go on and on and on. But if you find yourself falling in sin, repent from it, and then get out of it, and then you got another choice. Go a different way. You know it's down around the corner. Don't go that way. Sometimes you'll be blindsided. Sometimes you're not. Just make sure you don't walk into it. Now, you have a seat for a moment there, Fred? Joe, can I borrow you now? Sitting there laughing at Fred, I'll teach you. Have a seat. Huh? Well, God chose you. Go ahead and share it if you want to.
Hey,
turn all that people there.
Huh? What God showed me while you were doing that, when you had that sheet or sin covering Fred, and that sin was covering him, and you said, can you breathe? You know, you were just checking. Can you breathe? And instantly God showed me, you know, that is like sin. Sin brings death.
Yeah.
And you said, if he didn't repent, that sin would remain on him. So that sheet would always be over him, that sheet of death, you know. And then if he didn't repent, sin always leads to more sin.
Right.
So you'd do another sin, and it would be on you, and another, and another, and slowly, you can't breathe, and slowly you're dying, and sin brings death.
Right.
The wages of sin is death.
Amen. Amen. So it's one thing to fall into, it's another thing to stay into. Amen. Now, this is the closest thing I had for a baby today, okay? So we'll laugh and get it over with, but
oh my gosh.
I'm sorry. Okay. Now that's a brand new baby. Oh. Newborn. Yep. Yeah. Oh.
Looks what? Like you
do. It does have Kathy's eyes. Yes. But how many people love babies?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, especially when they're somebody else's. Amen. Okay. Baby are born, everybody looks, oh, look how cute they are. You like that, Reno? And you think, oh, man, what's he going to be or he going to be? I'm not sure whether that's a boy or girl, but what's this baby going to grow up to be? Doctor, lawyer, maybe a welder on the pipeline making big bucks. All these stuff go to a mind. But one thing we have to see with this child, now put this under in your lap here, Fred. Now wrap your baby up. Oh, Joe, sorry. Now we're going. Yep, wrap the baby up, but let his head stay out. There you go. Oh, so cute. Oh, cute. Now, what did I say? The blanket represented
Satan,
sin. We have to remember this. That baby, how cute that child is born in sin, born with the sin nature. Okay. The Bible tells us to raise a child in the ways of the Lord. When he's older, then he won't depart from it. So, this child, as cute as he is, and he'll be in sandbox and swinging, and you're going to teach him how to ride a pony and stuff like that. The greatest thing this child needs is Jesus. Okay? Because right now, yes, he's born in sin, but he's still breathing. He's covered by the blood of Christ until he reaches the age of accountability. Well, that means until he knows the difference between right and wrong and Jesus and Satan, he's covered. So if he would die as an infant, as a youngster, he goes to heaven, okay? You have to reach the age of accountability. Now, what is the age of accountability? I think go anywhere from 8 years up to 14 years. It just depends on the person, on the child. That's where the responsibility to parents are so great. Because when a child reaches age where they know right from wrong, They need to want, have that desire to receive Christ as their Savior and Lord. Because Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and that's it, right? That's what he's come for. Born in a sin nature, but covered right now until he reaches the age of accountability. Now, when the child reaches 10, 11, 12 years old, some churches you reach 12 years old and it's time to go and get confirmed. You have confirmations, not hearings, confirmations and... Well, anyway, at a certain age, it's time to get confirmed. And now, I don't have objection to that as long as the child wants to. Okay? Just to say, well, hey, you're 12 years old now, Kathy. I want you to sign this paper and say these words, and you'll be right with God. It has to be a moving in the heart. Okay, listen. I want you to confirm right now that Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord, that you want to follow Him. It has to be a thing inside, right? Amen? You follow me on that? So, this child, as he... or she receives Jesus Christ as her Savior and Lord, man, they're set free. Now this is... there, hold your baby. Okay. Now they're set free. They know, right from wrong, they've voluntarily accepted Christ as their Savior and Lord. It doesn't stop Satan from coming around the child all the time. I know you can't see this on the video, but I got a blanket I'm chasing the baby around with. But it has to stay away. The child... he wants this child. Satan does. Okay? Now, if the child, when he reaches the age of accountability, doesn't accept Christ, doesn't know about Jesus, what happens is this. He's covered now by Satan. Once he reaches that age of accountability, he has to decide whether he wants to receive forgiveness as a Savior and Lord. Now that's so important, because just as Brother Fred was walking through Victoria's Secrets, all kind of things trying to distract him, this youngster now has so many things wanting to distract him. Let's just say 10 years old. Let's say 10 years old, your child's born again, he's going to school, he's coming home, he has the video games, he has the cell phones. How much temptation is out there? How much is Satan trying to drag him away? I mean, look at that, folks. Look at that. Oh, my. Well, in order for this child, who isn't strong yet, in his ability to turn things in, we have to intercede as parents and grandparents, intercede and say, listen, that stuff isn't good for you. You know, you can have a video game, yes you can, but no, you can't have that one that's got killing in it. No, you know, you can't have that one that has drug pushers shooting the cops. You can't have that one, no, no. Or you can't have this one that you're going to be driving 1,000 miles an hour and wreck and violate all the laws. No. Here you have Mario Brothers. There used to be one, wasn't it? Yeah. Pizza delivery. Okay. Now, the rejection toward you would be great. They will rebel, okay? They're like, if they're not perfect, they've accepted Christ, but they're not there yet. They're going to rebel against you, because why? Everybody else is doing it, right? Everybody else has it. You know, we're going to go to Fred's house, because Fred's house, we can do that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's got books of Victoria's Secrets laying all over the place. You know, we'll go over there. But see, but look what's on the line. Look what's at stake. We're talking about eternity for a youngster. We're talking about whether heaven or hell. Because it's easier to keep a cat in the house, Carol White, or a dog in the fence, Bob, than it is to try to put them back in. Right? It is. Okay. So we have to stand our ground as the adult figures in the lives of youngsters and say, man, it's not good for you. I don't care how much you yell at me. I don't care how much you scream at me. This isn't good for you. And you're not going to do it. And they might say, well, wait till I turn 18. Well, when you turn 18, you're on your own. But as long as you're in my household, consuming my food, holding my remote, you're going to do things my way. Because it's true. Satan wants to devour and wants to destroy every one of us. And that word has to penetrate us enough into our lives to motivate us to stand up for what's right. And don't waver, don't matter how much chaos goes on. You know, I guess you might call it tough love. But we have to want it so bad that we're willing to sacrifice our peace and our quiet. Because most of us want peace and quiet, right? Yeah. What do you do? Well, when you have a youngster, a teenager in the house that's rebelling against you and wants to do the things of the world, but you don't want it to take place in your house, you won't have peace and quiet all the time. But man, you are the head of the house, amen? You control the television set, amen? You control the phone, don't you? Amen? You control where they go, don't they? Don't you? Amen? You control their allowance, don't you? Amen? You control whether they eat or not, don't you?
Yep.
Oh, all right. Well, then control that. What, you mean blackmail? You're darn right. Discipline was what it is. Folks, it's not easy, I know. And a lot of you folks are here today, and some of you are raising children, some of you are raising your grandchildren, some of you are raising your nieces and nephew, and we are in a rebellious world right now. But God will give you the strength. He will give you, as you continue to turn to Him, He'll give you the ability to survive one more day. And sometimes for raising children, and I'm not speaking against kids, I'm just saying that all the stuff that's coming against them anymore, all you want to do is get one more day. You're not worrying about Friday, huh, Vicki? This is Sunday. Just get me through Sunday, Lord, you know? And you lay your head down at night and say, well, God, survive another day. But I'm telling you, what you're doing is not going unnoticed. Now, I was talking to God the other day. You ever got to talk to God? Yeah, I know. And he shared this. Are you okay?
Yes.
Okay, I don't want to let the baby cry, okay? In fact, you can probably get back here and sit if you want to for a little while. I might bring you back up again, okay? I'm glad you're rebellious. But you think, well, the only reason my kid behaves himself because he wants a cell phone tonight. The only reason you mow the grass because you want to eat tonight. Only reason. So isn't it a reason? Didn't you give him a reason to be obedient?
Yeah.
Amen. They might do rebellious. I was thinking the other day, me and God was kicking around. I said, God, can people really go to heaven just because they don't want to go to hell? Now think of that. Can not wanting to go to hell truly motivate a person to accept your forgiveness of sins? And he brought me to this. He says, Stark, you remember back in the day, you had a midnight curfew. Anybody have curfews at midnight? Fred was 3 o'clock. Okay, anybody else? I mean, and it don't seem like, I don't care how I plan it in my head, I wouldn't leave you till the very last second. Now, I can make it Adamsville to Fresno in 12 minutes at one time. Yeah. One time it cost me $74. Yeah. But anyway, why would I do that? Why would I drive so crazy to get home by midnight? Well, one thing is called my car. Now, I bought my car. I'm 16 years old. My dad has control of that car. Okay. My dad and mom had a habit of feeding me, give me a place to live, kept insurance on my car. I had a job in school. All that stuff. I love my job. I mean, I love the money, not the job, okay?
Yeah.
I like being able to go see my girlfriend, now my bride. I like the idea of eating. Mom was a great cook. Blackberry cake, I loved it, okay? I love the idea of having a roof over my head, okay? But I'm telling you, going down the road at 2 minutes to midnight, trying to make it up Forest Hill Lake Road, okay? I wouldn't think how much my dad loved me. I wasn't thinking how much my mom cared for me. I'm thinking, man, why did I got a curfew? Boy, when I turn 18, I'm going to do things different. Anybody been there with me? Have you done the same thing? Anybody say, oh, good, I can be home by midnight tonight because my mom and my dad love me so much, I'll make sure I get there in time? That was not going through my head. Half the time on the way home, I ran across Jeff Norris on 93. We drag race our Volkswagen all the way home. Yes, amen. But it got me home, did it not? It got me on the roof. It got me through life. And it wasn't probably till maybe till I had my own kids, I don't know. I look back and I realize, man, how much my dad loved me. how much my mom loved me. See, that rebellious obedience, I'd rather do this than not have my car, turned into, man, look how much he loved me. Because there's not much to do out after midnight that don't get you in trouble. Is that right, Kenny Weekly? You and I both are the reason we had the midnight curfews, weren't they? After a while you get bored. And you get yourself into trouble. And Mom and Dad knew that. And plus, also, it was against the law. We had a curfew. I don't know if they still have one or not, but midnight you had to be off the streets. So I get arrested, lose my license, get in front of the judge. All these things. And probably part of it was, too, they won't take me back and forth to work. Okay. But I recognize, looking back, man, that's how much they love me. So, looking at God, can we get to heaven not because we love God, but because we don't want to go to hell? Can we receive His forgiveness without really loving Him? And I think we can. At first. You say, hey, who wants to go to hell? Who wants to go down where the torment's all the time? Who wants to go to hell with fire and brimstone? Where it's like a worm is crawling through every cavity of your body all the time, through your eyes, your nose and stuff. Who wants to be tormented for eternity? Nobody I know of wants to do that. Well, come to God, accept His forgiveness of your sins. Acknowledge Him as your Savior and Lord. And most people believe in God, they believe that Christ died for their sins. But most people believe their sins aren't bad enough to repent from. But when you hear that, man, this is what's going to happen. You're burned forever. And God doesn't want that. People cry out to God, God, forgive me. Christ, come in my life, be my Savior. They're not in love with Him yet. They just don't want to go to hell. But as you mature in the Lord, you recognize how much He loves you.
And then you love Him.
Oh, my. And then you love Him back. You fall in love with Him. Man, I love my mom and dad more today than I did back then. And they've been gone 30 years almost. I mean, the stuff they put up with. My pop working 3 and 4 jobs to feed 8 of us. Oh, my lands. Mom making those shirts. Oh, I hated it. I mean, seriously, I hated wearing homemade shirts. Oh, gosh. I love them things. That was love, guys. She didn't want me to wear holy clothes that she made him. Oh, holy. But you look back, wow. And I thought, you can. You can come to God because you don't want to go to hell. And as you hear His word, you just fall in love with Him so much. And that's what these scriptures are is to penetrate us as a Christian. Penetrate. When He tells us about adultery, when He tells us about cross-dressing, dressing like females when you're a male, okay? Or He talks about homosexuals, same-sex relations, okay? It's a sin. He tells us that out of love because He cares for us. And we talk about thieves, a person who steals, a people who deceive. If you're doing such things, we don't see the kingdom of God. Understand? Fred, I want to borrow you again. Come back up here. But let's talk. Now, let's lay it there. Now, you're a Christian. You're sitting there. But this is sin, and it's tempting you. You're not covered in sin yet, okay? But this is how it can start. We have to recognize that He says drunkards. Those who are alcoholics. Those who are alcoholics will not see the kingdom of God. And we say, oh, God. Sir, you can't say that. It's the disease. It's not a disease. It's a weakness. Understand that. A disease is when I got here and catch cancer. That's a disease. Alcoholism, drug addiction is not a disease. It started out as a weakness. I'm not saying it's bad that a person falls into it. We all fall into stuff. We have to recognize it and call what it is. And God calls it a sin, which is awesome because He who overcame every sin there is. So we have power and strength to the blood of Jesus. But it starts out like this. Here's the temptation here. Want a beer, Fred? Yeah. Want some whiskey, Fred? Hey, you want some of this, Fred? Want a joint, Fred? Want to pop a pill, Fred? All this stuff. Just trying to entertain. Now, maybe you drink a beer. Now, a beer, and the Bible doesn't say you drink a beer, you go to hell. Hear me? They don't. I can't find it at all. To be drunk, to be a drunkard, is someone who's drunk all the time. It is. Now, years ago, Yeah, how many years ago? I drank a fifth of whiskey a night. And we were married. We didn't have any kids yet. You worked midnights. Out most of the time on running medic and stuff like that. Okay, amen? Now I work 3 to 11. Not much going on. No kids. So I used to sit down and suck down a bottle of Jack Daniels for a while. Okay? Or whatever I got over. Close to payday is Brookside Reserve. You know, $4 a bottle. Okay? But praise God, I put it down. But not one person I've ever heard of says, man, I get up out of school, man, I'll become an alcoholic. No. It started one beer at a time. Then two beers. And then what happens then, we like the feeling that, man, we'll have a few beers in me, I can relax. I don't have the pressure of this going on. And next thing you know, it's all the time. And then what happens, that one or two beers turned into every day, all the time. The next thing you know, Satan's got you. He's got you now. Wow. It starts off so easily. It starts so now, again, if you drink a beer, I'm not telling you can't drink a beer. Don't leave here and say, gosh, okay? I'm just saying be careful. Be careful. Because it can take you down a road you never come back again. And God doesn't want that. Okay? That joint that you want to smoke. I mean, in Coshocton, they're talking about bringing in marijuana places to grow medical marijuana. But I'm sorry, friend.
I heard about that.
But at the same time, we know it's going to open up to medical, to use it as you want to. Be careful of that, guys. Watch out. Watch out. I mean, look at opium. It's great for pain pills when you come out of surgery. It's great to kill the pain when you're going through, your back goes out and stuff. But it'll get a hold of you and take you to a place that you can't come back from. You got to be careful with that. And you got to understand the enemy. He wants to drag you to hell. And the Bible says no drunkard. And it starts off so easily. But the great news is that man, those who call upon the name of the Lord and turn to Him can be released, can be freed from that. Oops, sorry. Okay? But it goes back the same way. Fred ain't walking down past Victoria's Secret. Now he's not going to the bars anymore. He's not going around the alcohol anymore. He turned it down. He doesn't want it anymore. Amen?
Amen?
And that's what we have to have in our life. We want it that bad. And we'll say, oh, it'll never happen to me. That's the biggest lie that Satan will give you. It'll never happen to me, Vicky. Never will. No one ever starts up. No one woke up in the morning, I don't believe. Especially as a Christian saying, well, I think I'll go out and sin today, Bonnie. And by midnight tonight, I'll repent from it. No. And folks, talking to the church. Because remember, the world's already gone to hell. Because I have Jesus. He's talking to the church. Watch out. Okay? This thing's here that I've been telling you. He's talking to the church about fornicating in the church. All time high. Adultery. All time high. Oh my. And we talk about adultery the same way. You fall into it. It starts easy at work maybe. A conversation. Next thing you know, you fall into lust and you fall into to sin. How do you get released from this? Repent. Seek God's forgiveness. Boom. Because you were tempted. Well, however it was, whatever Satan can put in your mind to give you an excuse to cross that line from being a friend to being a friend. Hear me, church? Okay, I mean, I know we've never done that, right? Okay. Ever watch a soap opera? Oh, you're the soap opera, for example. But we have to understand our enemy. And when that spirit of perversion comes over a person, it can take you. The same way, if you have a desire for the same sex, homosexual activity, okay? It's the same way. Satan will tempt you. You know, it can happen so easily at times. Ladies, man, you've been in an abusive relationship. You got a lady that talks to you all the time. Next thing you know, man, they're so friendly, they're so nice to me. And you go down the wrong road. Men can be the same way. They have an abusive relationship with their wife. And next thing you know, they're talking to a guy. And just one thing leads to another. It's the same spirit that does both. And the Bible says it's sin. Okay? It's not a... You know, don't give it a different label. Because we'll embrace it if we give it a different label. It's a sin. I don't mean just sin. But it's sin. And God can free us from that. If we want it.
Yeah,
if we want it. Yeah, the alternative lifestyle, you know. There's an alternative lifestyle, heaven or hell. So you turn or you don't. Okay? Now, people can choose that. I'm not telling you can't. I'm just telling you what God says will happen. You can't be freed from it. But the spirit that gets a hold of you. And next thing you know, wow, you can't see anything that the Bible says is true. You get sucked into so deep. But man, you never come back out of it. So we have to watch out on that. And again, to share the truth. People get mad at you. People get mad at preachers. All I'm doing is sharing what God actually did out of His love. So He'd let people know this. Slander. Which is I can't even say the word right. Revealers? Yes. Revilers. Which means slander. Talking against people. It's not just running your mouth. You're running yourself. Amen? Please watch that. That can be one of the greatest downfall in churches. And again, He's talking to the churches. Quit slandering. Quit talking about one another. We should see Christ in one another. We should see Him in us. He says, don't cheat or obtain from fraud or deceit. Okay? Stay away from it. And again, it goes back. Sometimes you're talked into it. Lie. Lie on your application. Taxes. Lie on your taxes. Claim your dog and cat as dependents. You know? That government wasted your money anyway. It's still thieving. It's still lying. And we can't. And what He tells us, and listen, church, He's talking to the church. He's saying that those in the church that practice such things, He'll tell you to stay away from them. Don't even eat dinner with them. Now, He's not talking about the world. He's talking about the church. Those who profess to be Christian, followers of Jesus Christ, and they're lying, cheating, and stealing, fornicating, committing adultery, doing all these things, get away from them. Don't break bread with them. If they're calling upon the name of the Lord as His Savior and they're doing these things, they're not. Get away from them. They're going to taint you. But out in the world, people are doing this. Same place you and I were at one time. We're called to share that with them. Out of love. Out of encouragement to them. But in the church, God said, get the sin out of my church. Those who call themselves Christians and have done this thing, get it out of my church. So now you see the line drawn. If you're a Christian, you can't do the things of the world. You shouldn't want to. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian, I'm glad you're here. We can make a decision. It's not saying that if you're not a Christian, you can't come to church. He's talking to Christians. People are watching you. Man, and if we're staying in sin, doing these things, we're leading people down the wrong path. It's quite a responsibility, isn't it, Gail? People look at you and they say, Jesus, what can Jesus do? What can I do as a Christian? How should I act as a Christian? How should I respond to the things of the world as a Christian? You know? Should I laugh at that joke that I just told you, Joe? You know, you don't know. It's a great responsibility we have. But these are the things He's talking to the church about. But again, this is the Word of God that is cutting both ways. So right now you're mad at me. Some of you are lying, coming back there no more. My gosh, tell me I can't have a beer. I can't say the things right now. I'm distorting you. I mean, so quickly, and you can't help it. I see you guys' eyes going down the sidewalk quite often. So I know something distracted you. So it's so easy. I'm the same way. We all get distracted, right? Amen. That's how. Yes, Meg.
I look because I keep hoping you're coming in the door now.
Oh, do you? Yeah. Then I just mentioned about lying.
I really do.
Uh-huh. Right. Amen. But I'm saying we can easily be distracted. You know, yeah. And what I just said in the last 2 minutes. I can say, I just gave you the key to eternal life. Did you write it down? Do you know what it is? And some will say, no. Why? Because they weren't listening. They weren't here. Amen? Amen. And so we know, I mean, we're trying to get different curtains that we can help things out. Because it's easy. We all get distracted. If I'm over here, well, if there's a dog bouncing across the court square, And a squirrel.
I can't see that far.
My eye's going to catch it too. My eyes will catch it also. Amen? Yep. But on the other part of the blade, I'll share this and I'll be done for the day. I'm sorry, Fred. I'll still get half covered in sin.
Yeah.
Sorry, buddy. You're set free. Now, on the other part of the sword, we're talking about the Word of God and how it sets us free. Now, understand this. What I just talked about, there's nothing I just shared with you that talks about drunkenness, the homosexual, the adulteries. It takes no faith at all to believe in that and go to hell. Amen?
Amen.
It don't take any faith. That's what happens if you're doing that. So you don't have that build up faith. You know, we say, man, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I heard these things today, and man, I got faith now, I'm going to go to hell. And, you know, without faith, I won't go to hell. No, follow me. It takes no faith for that. We were born in sin. We just saw that little baby born in sin. We saw Fred lusting after Victoria's Secrets. All that stuff of the nature. And all that leads to death. But what takes faith is operating God's Word in your life. It is hearing God's Word and claiming for your life. The lady with the issue of blood. Everybody familiar?
Yeah.
We talked about her, I think, maybe last week, temporarily. 12 years, blew everything she had, went to the doctors, all the specialists, every place, in order to get better. But she didn't. But she heard about Jesus. She put faith in Jesus. And so what she did when she heard Christ was coming, she went out to meet Him, right? She went out to see Him. She knew that if I just touched the Master, I'd be healed. And so she went through all the different odds. She had enough faith that she went out of the house. She was not out of the house. She was unclean. Be on the street, she'd be arrested. Okay? That's the way it was back 2,000 years ago. She went against the crowd. And you imagine if Christ is... Come on, Fred. You got to stand up this time. You're going to be Jesus for a minute. Okay? There you go. Okay? Now, this is Jesus. How many believe that Christ is a healer? Okay? Everybody believes that. Okay? How many believe that you come to the Lord and you touch Him, and touch Him in your life, that you can be healed of anything that's going on in your life? Amen. Okay? So, Fred's up here. I'm back here. Boom. There we go. And I know, and I believe the same thing, that Jesus, you're Jesus right now, if I just get the Lord and touch Him, my body's going to be healed. But look what obstacle I have right now. I've got Bob in my road. I got Ruth over here. And man, if I just get to Him, hey, my fault, is it? I'm back here in the back, is it? Here I am back here. All these people in front of me. Well, if I was closer to Jesus, I'd be healed. You know? In fact, I think if Christ wanted me healed, He'd come back here probably. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you know, well, you know. But what did this lady do? This lady heard about Christ, heard about Him healing, heard of Him raising the dead. What does she do? If I just touch His garment. Okay, now, all these people are around Jesus. Man, they're bumping to the whole time. She said, well, if I just get closer to Jesus. Excuse me. Making you different. Pardon me. I know it's uncouth. But I'm getting to Jesus. Oh, pardon me. Excuse me. Excuse me. Look at that. Yeah. Now, I just went past doubt. Unbelief. I went past naysayers. I went past people who say, oh, I've prayed before. I bypassed all that because it's my faith. And I touched the Master who's going to heal me. And that's what she did. She touched Him. He turned around and said, hey, who touched me? And all the people around, all his posse, said, wait a minute, who touched you? Man, there's a thousand of them bumping into you, man. You know, so they're not, you'd be like Steve Tyler walking through the fairgrounds. You got so many people bawling around, boom, boom, boom. And for the older folks, I'll say George Jones, okay? But what made the difference? I could be walking beside, man, this guy's cool. Man, I could be have my cane, walk with him, man, he's cool. Last night we had a party last night. He fed 5,000 of us, man. I heard we had dinner coming up again. I'm following him, okay? Now my back's bad. I can't walk. I bumped into a several times, but I still got my cane. Why? No faith. So when they say, "Master, people are running to you all the time," what are you talking about? No, someone touched me. So she went up and touched him, got a hold of him, and he looked at her. And what he said basically said, "Hey, by your faith, you're healed. By your faith." Isn't that awesome? Now just think about a moment ago when he's gone through all them those sins. It was penetrating you. Some people are getting the stove stepped on. Some people say, "Oh, thank you, Lord, I'll remove this." Now, if you take his word, now we saw what things bring us to hell and we're delivered from. Look what brings healing to us. By him, touching him, allowing him, no matter what anybody else says, having him. Bypassing everything in life. Now we know that sickness and disease can come on by sin. Amen? We understand that. So, let me back to my little thing here. I know. If you had a skinnier pastor, it would be easy to get through here. I'll come in next week, somebody have a girdle for me, okay? So, there, Jesus is the healer. I give my life to the Lord. Man, but I just don't feel good. Well, why? Because what am I doing right now? What's still in my life that's not good? Sin. Well, what's in my life? Is it sin? Is it oh man. I'm still entertaining that sin in my life. I'm not where I used to be at, I used to get drunk all, I used to get stoned all the time. Oh, No, I didn't. I'm just don't walk out on me. But I used to smoke a bag of pot every night, man. But I tell you, he set me free from that, man. Woo! All I drink now is Bud Light every night. Yeah, okay. People say, "Oh, fantastic, you're not smoking dope anymore." But what's the difference? You follow me? Okay. So, yes, sometimes we'll applaud accomplishments when they're not really an accomplishment. It's a more acceptable sin. Hear me? It's more acceptable by the eyes of the public. And so we're not quite as embarrassed by it anymore. Amen? I mean, come on. It's true. And we get so excited. Yeah, I shared before one time, but I knew a lady, and she was involved in homosexual, lesbian for several years. We were praying for her. Oh, we know the power of God can set a person free. And boom, next thing we get a call from the family saying, "Praise God, she is no longer living that woman. Yes, she's living a man now." Okay? Amen. But what's the difference? It's more acceptable. But it's still sin. So in our life today, we have to watch out that we don't allow sin to stay in our life to block us from touching the Master. Now you might have some, "Well, I used to do this, but now I do this. It's not near as bad." Well, maybe it's more acceptable, but still keeps us from the Master. It's kind of like, in order for it to flow through here, I have to keep that sin in my life, because sin will bring sickness and disease. It's designed to do that. So we got to check ourselves. Do we really want to get close to the Lord? How bad do we really want somebody to be set free? How bad do you really want to intercede for somebody? Are you sick and tired yet of being sick and tired of watching the things in the world? Amen? If yourself, if you're perfect today, praise God that you are. Who's on your heart? It's time. It's time to fast. It's time to pray. It's time to intercede like we never had before. People are dying and going to hell. And we have to intercede. Go to the Master. Don't let nothing stop you. To get strong in our prayer life. And maybe you're here today. Maybe you have come through a lot. But you still got more to go through. You can make it. You got to be determined like that lady was. Nothing will hold me back. Nothing will stop me from what the Lord wants. Now I'm going to make it up here and overcome it. You got to be set in your mind, in your ways, that you want to do it. It has to be a priority in your life. If you have to, put posters up in your house, remind you what you want to do every day, who you want to pray for. Remind you, I want to go down that road because, man, not just for myself, but man, I've been praying for somebody and I'm not going to have my prayers interfered with. Oh, I'm going to throw my TV out the window because it keeps trying to take me down the wrong path. You have to throw your TV out the window. Do whatever you have to do. Time here is short. He's coming. But man, your faith, as you hear that, what happened to the issue of blood, He does the same to us. But look what the odds she had to go through. She was willing to go through anything to touch Jesus. And may we be the same way. Whatever it takes to get Christ more in my life, to give surrender more to Him, whatever it is, He'll do the same. He sent His word to heal them. And He says, by your faith. By your faith. And that's where we're going next week. We'll talk about your faith. Amen? I mean, folks, you say, well, I don't have any faith. You got faith. You're born again. He said that every one of us here has the same deposit of faith. I don't have more. I wasn't given more faith. Well, you were. Well, you was. Well, he said, well, preacher, I said, no. The only difference is what you do with the faith given to you. Amen? You're past Gail and she got 3 acres of sweet corn growing, you know? Her and I both were given the same amount of corn. What's the difference? I ate mine. She planted hers. That's what we do. We're going to plant our faith in the Word of God.